this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
I'm very grateful for people who talk to me about God. And started when I was young with my parents, and what a blessing. I remember specifically my father telling us Bible stories, and then for a series of years, maybe when I was around 13 to 23, had really nothing to do with church or people. And in those years, I had a few good encounters with people who spoke to me specifically about Jesus. And the result was that I was sort of curious of what they said, which was uncommon and mysterious. And then, you know, it inspired hope and eventually caused me to come to faith in Christ. And so very grateful for those moments. And I want to speak to you this morning about talking about God to people. It's very, great privilege. And, you know, it's something that we should naturally do as we fall in love with God, as we connect with Him, as we focus our lives in Him. You know, whatever is the main focus in your heart, you're going to naturally talk about. And so, we're very blessed to have this place. And, you know, I've been here for over 20 years and it's great, you know, hearing people tell stories and talk about God. And then when you go away from here, you don't stop. You continue to focus on God and to talk about Him. And I spoke to a few people last year who knew no Bible stories, which didn't surprise me, but didn't know anything about Jesus. And you can't sort of work forwards from there, even if you try and work backwards and say, well, have you heard of Abraham? No, who's he? Well, what about, you know, what about Noah and the flood? That's a classic. You know, have you ever heard of Noah and the flood? Don't know what you're talking about. All right, what about David and Goliath? That's another great Bible story. These are the great foundations of Western culture, aren't they? These are the great ancient stories that get passed down through generations. And in our last, 100 years or so, we got so many stories that these ones are on the back burner. You just try and work through all the great stories and people have no idea. Daniel in the lion's den, anyone? Jonah, that's another classic. Jonah, and there's a big fish. You're just not there. Every culture has been handing stories, their stories down for thousands of years, and we've sort of lost the ancient stories in some areas of our culture. They're just not passed down anymore. People don't know about it. Well, we know about it. So you talk about it. And so it's a great privilege to talk about God, and you will naturally talk about God when you live a life that is focused on Him. We love a good story in this place. I mean, Hudson's preaching last week, align your life with Christ. Always love a good army story and the relevance of it to our lives. It's just so practical and it's just so straight. And yes, align your life with Christ. Now, we have a great history of stories in this church. And, so many people in the community have just gone to the movies, reading books. Mia's reading Lord of the Rings. What a great story. We have a great story. We have a massive story. We have the biggest story in the history of every other thing, story. And not even just the gospel. I mean, that is the biggest story, the gospel, the story between heaven and earth. That Jesus came, died on the cross to take away our sin. I will always remember understanding that story for the first time and going, oh my goodness, I need Him. I realize where I am right now. This is the wrong side of eternity. I will be saved when I understood that story. You go back to the beginning, all these stories are so good. The Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then the whole Moses story. These are stories to be reading all the time. These are stories to be holding in high reverence. These are stories to be talking about to your children, to your family, to the people at work, to the next person who's next to you, to the next person who God tells you to talk to. These are what we talk about. We talk about God, and people find hope in these stories, living hope. And when they get so curious, they come to faith in Christ. And that's how it works. That's it. Talk about the ancient stories. And, you know, the Bible says this on many occasions. Jesus said it when he was talking about the God of the living. Peter said it when he healed the lame man, when the lame man was healed and they went into the temple, that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just think about that for a minute. He's the God of Abraham. There's a story behind Abraham. He's the God of Abraham. Isaac, there's another great story with Isaac and with Jacob. There's a fantastic story with Jacob. You just take a snippet of that story. He puts his head on a rock. He sleeps. He has a dream. Angels are coming up and down on a stairway to heaven. That's where they got the name for that song that all the world loves, and they don't even realize where it comes from.
Come on.
It's in that story.
Yeah.
So many good stories. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's just three generations there. They call them the fathers, the God of the living. But these guys, what did happen? They encountered God. Each one of them encountered God in incredible ways. And Abraham simply had a friendship with God. That was it. He did what God said. He listened to what God did. And he had a friendship with God. He was called the father of faith. He just had a friendship with God. And then Isaac came along, which was a miraculous thing. If you know the story, if you don't know the story, you can read it. It's in Genesis. Isaac came along and Abraham went to offer him as a sacrifice because God told him to. He was testing his faith, testing him out to see how far he would really go. And Abraham was willing to go all the way, but he told him to stop. And Isaac had an encounter with God. Isn't that interesting? Isaac heard a voice come from heaven. There was a ram stuck in a thing. They made a sacrifice. Isaac had his own relationship and his own encounters with God. And then Jacob came along. He didn't really have a relationship with Abraham. You know, sometimes you don't know your grandparents. But typically, when you're born, you usually have parents. It's not always the case. Sometimes people get adopted and all that stuff. But there's parents and then there's grandparents. And my children, they have a babushka and they have a great nan. They have a nan and a great nan, which is not always the way. But the encounters are supposed to go from the fathers or the mothers or the grandparents down to the next generation. It's about the encounter that you have with God. We have a great story in our Russian side of the family, which is not me. It's my wife. Now, her family, Tony and Tanya up the back, they came out here on a boat when they were 4 years old, and their parents, they lived in northern China, up there, a little bit. Their grandparents, I think it was their grandparents, were persecuted in Russia and they fled. And they fled into northern China, and it was okay at the start, but then the emperor decided to kill all the birds. And when you do that, all the insects eat all the food, and then people get hungry. And they had a communist government who decided that any food belonged to the emperor. And to make it even more difficult to find food, you weren't allowed to hunt or to really grow food. So I'm not sure where the sense is in all of that, but what it does is it causes starvation. And so they were living in this area, and God broke out in this area, and there was a revival amongst them. All these Russians that fled into China to get away from, I think it was Stalin or whoever it was, that was killing their family because they were Christian. Or no, because they had money. That's right, because they had money. Let's get the story right. They were bankers. And so that's part of our story. But they encountered God. They came out. You can talk to Nadia because she's slightly, she older than you, Tony? She's older, that's right. So she remembers a little bit more. And so they came out and this guy, some random guy, got him into Hong Kong, from all the way in northern China. They caught a train. People were starving. Tony told me the other day that they got off the train. All the guards herded them into a room, and they got fed, which was a miracle because there was no food. And then they herded them all back onto the train, and then they came through to Hong Kong. At one point, someone tried to steal Tony, so we nearly didn't have. You guys weren't. You wouldn't. It was close. Could have been non-existent. God's plans work through generations.
Yes.
They work through you telling your story of your encounter to God to your children. And they came all the way out to Australia. My grandfather, one of the last conversations I had with him was, why did you become a minister? He became a minister when he was young, like in his early 20s. And what he was about to inherit was a large building company. My great-grandfather built a decent building company in Sydney. And so he was a carpenter and he was in line with his brother to inherit this building company. But him and his brother decided to become ministers. And they built St. Swithin's, which I found out only recently. They built St. Swithin's, which is where Ruth had an encounter with God. She did. Is that right? Pretty sure you've shared that story before. Some around there with your youth leader. And so they built churches and they built buildings. Actually, when I was in school, one of the teachers used to call me Builder because Gervin Brothers built the school hall. And so, you know, there's this history. But so I wasn't always sure, why did he become a minister when he could have inherited a building company and made a lot of money? But he told me how he felt the call of God. This is one of the last conversations I had with him. And I was so encouraged by that. I was so encouraged. The encounter with God passes down from you to your children. But who are your children? Who's the next generation in Christ? Well, I want to say, yes, talk to your children about God. But then just talk to the next generation that's in front of you about God, because anyone can be the next child of God. And it is a definite principle in the Bible that you tell your children, and you don't just read them Bible stories, you share your testimony. God spoke to me. You share with them about the encounters that you're having so that they can have hope, living hope, and they can get curious about who God is, and then they will give their hearts to God. Let's have a look at a scripture. Now, you might be the first person in your family to come to Christ, and maybe no one's talked to you about Christ. But if you come here, you're going to hear people, and Chris and Ruth are my spiritual parents. I've always seen them that way. And I might be physically too old for that, but they've been our leaders. I mean, just the stories of Russia. Just the hope and the encouragement and the faith of their 2 years, I think it was, where they were young and they had two young children and they went to Russia. And you just think, if you've had young children, you think that's crazy. Like, that's just next level. In the 90s when the war came down, and you just, all these stories that just find some parents here or find some children. If you want to find some children, you've got no one to talk to, just talk to these children or borrow one of mine. I have four. Plenty to go around. Psalm 78, and I've gone with the New King James because of a specific word that it uses. Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, and they may set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart right and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The New Living Translation at the end says they didn't give their hearts to God. But I want you to catch just a couple of things in this psalm. And read it when you get home or read it later on. This is a powerful psalm, one that is good to know. And so the first thing I want to notice is in the very beginning of the psalm, in verse, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Look, just this year, if you're going to do anything, let's just tune into what God is doing. Yeah. And one of the things I love about the Lake Cajeligo trip, which started many years ago with a guy called Haddon. Some of you will remember him. And I flattered with Haddon. He had a property up on Tuggera Lakes. He used to live there. And when I was a younger man and single, I lived with him for a while. And he was very passionate and a real... He would talk to anyone about Jesus, which was a great encouragement when you first come to Christ and you just see this guy naturally talking to people about God and just catching a bit of that. And so lovely man. And he came from Lake Kajiligo and he started the trips. He would just randomly drive out. They were a bit more chaotic back then. And they would take jet skis and they would have big fires, bigger fires, and really big fires, and burn the shed down. No, he did that once when he was a child. But he's a lovely guy, and he started, well, when I lived with him, I saw him, and it was never early, but he had morning revs. And when you go out to lake, you have morning revs where you get up. First thing you do is just put your thongs on, walk down near the lake, take your Bible, read it, because that's what it's for, reading. Read it and then just sort of talk to God and try and just get something that God is putting on your heart for that moment, for that day. And then you come back and you sit around breakfast with everyone. And morning and breakfast used to go for hours. I think now we just do a couple, but breakfast used to go for hours because everyone had to share their morning rev around breakfast. But morning revs was a great moment out at Lake. And Haddon's moment was always around 9 o'clock. He was just a late night person and not an early morning, but a wonderful guy. But he would have morning revs. And it says here, give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It's just about focusing on God, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you want to focus on God, you're just going to have to give him some time. Just give him some time. And you'll find in your spirit, in your mind, you are fresh. Yeah. There's a bit more life about you.
Yeah.
And you're putting that word in there and you're probably more likely to come to church and hearing the word and just having a freshness about you causes you to want to tell someone because God is very kind and he's very loving. And so the morning revs is not always instruction. It's just like, oh, God is so good. God is just so good. And when you love someone, and when you encounter their love, you will naturally want to talk about what's in your heart. And so this year, just tune in. Let's just keep it simple. Let's not try and reinvent something. Let's just give God time. Amen? Let's give God time. Give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It's just focus in on what God is saying and what he's doing and let him impart into you and you will naturally talk to people about him. All right, so, and then I just want to point out a couple more. In the second verse, it says, I'll open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. It's so important that we speak about these ancient stories. The Abraham story, is it 5,000 years old? Like, how old is it? This is an ancient story. I mean, the gospel is a couple of thousand years old. That's an old story. But it's so relevant and so much life in it. Matthew Henry says, the things here are weighty and deserve consideration. They're strange. I will open my mouth in a parable, in that which is sublime and uncommon, but very excellent and well worthy of your attention. These are called dark sayings, not because they are hard to understand, but because they are greatly to be admired and carefully to be looked into. Well, let's just focus in on the uncommon. When a guy was talking to me once about God, and it really got my attention because I'm like, what are you talking about? This is not normal. He talked to me about this encounter that he had, and he was delivered from a drug addiction. I'm like, that doesn't happen. That's a weird thing to say. Well, you're allowed to say weird things to people. But I remember thinking, that happened to him. I wonder if that can happen to me. And I kept thinking about that because it inspired hope. It was an uncommon conversation. But have an uncommon conversation. Talk to people about the encounter that you've had in God. Talk to them about it. It says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. And you have a testimony. And you might not think it's as grand as someone else's, but on the eternal scale of what God has done in your life, it has unlimited value. Unlimited value to talk to people about what God has done. And everyone can be a child of God, and everyone can have an opportunity to talk about God. Most people just want to talk about the weather. We're just going to talk about the weather, or we're going to talk about sport, or we have common conversations about what's going on in the world, or just have an uncommon conversation with someone. Just talk to them about what's happening. Have an uncommon conversation. Direct your conversation into what God is doing. Even this last week, as I went back to work, a couple of the guys at work said, what are you doing on the weekend? Hey? Well, I started telling them about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I started telling them about Moses and all these ancient stories that are in the Bible that are the foundation of, you know, Western culture, and they got it. They got it all the way through. No, we were just in the warehouse. But have an uncommon conversation. So I can have the band come back up. I'm just going to close with this story. Our nephew got married, and we had a great time. And the photographer was taking all these photos. That was on the Saturday night. Then on the Sunday, on the Monday morning, you know, I'm up early for work. And, you know, you sometimes get in work mode, or maybe you call it Chris Brown mode, getting things done. If you ever need to get something done, just hang around Chris Brown and pick up on that. We're going to get this sorted out. So I go to work early, like at 5:30, and sort all them out, and then I come home, everyone's asleep. I think, you know what, I've got to get a trip into Bunnings. I get to Bunnings as it opens, and I'm like, okay, Sarah's car needs fuel, it's going to get fuel. So this is all, you know, before 8 o'clock, and then the groceries are coming out, so I time it from you know, home, Bunnings, fuel, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet the groceries. She ordered them online, so bang, as soon as they open, the groceries are coming out. And sometimes our lives are like that. There's no space in, well, my life is like that. Sometimes with four daughters in a business, there's no space in between. You just boom, here, this, and then I've got to get back to here, and then I've got to be here. And then it's like, oh, gee, what happened to that day? What happened to last year? So I pull into the servo, I fill up, and I go inside, and there's a guy there serving me, and I'm like, you're the cameraman. You're the photographer. He's like, and he's telling me all about the photos, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, and you did a great job, and the photos. And so then another lady comes in, and I go to leave, and I'm like, I just feel this. You have to tell this guy, you have to invite him to come to church and talk to him. And I'm like, yes, but I'm getting things done. I don't know if I've got time for that right now, and he's going to think I'm weird. So the groceries, the ice cream, whatever, I'm going, the groceries. So I bust out and I go and get the groceries. The whole time I'm thinking, you're going to talk to that guy. You're going to invite him. And I'm thinking, am I going to do that next Monday? Because I've got to get home, and then, you know, full day of work. And I pull up at the traffic lights after getting the groceries, and I'm like, if I don't go and talk to this guy, I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life, and I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. So... And he's going to think I'm weird. But so I just went back, didn't I? And I just pulled up, and I'm thinking, he's just going to think I'm weird, but I don't care what he thinks, because I am going to sleep tonight. And our message is loving. And I'm thinking, well, this guy, maybe he's... Anyway, so I go and I say, you know, William, you should come to church. And he said to me, you know, I've been thinking about going to church, and I don't know where to go. And I said, where do you live? And he lives up in Killarney Vale, and he works Sunday mornings. And I said, mate, there are plenty of good churches around. He said, are they all for old people? I was like, mate, come to church. There are so many kids running around. You'll love it. Just come. And he doesn't know any Bible stories, doesn't know the gospel. But, you know, God loves him. Come on, let's stand and pray. Go out to Lake Jelligo, have a quiet time, play a game, eat a sausage, tell someone about the ancient stories, the encounters that you've had with God. I pray for these people this week, yeah? Who's going to join us in praying for the team? Hey? Come on, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We are so grateful for so many wonderful stories of hope and life, all the way through that great library of the Bible where you encounter people and people have relationships with you, and now it's our turn, Lord God. And so we bless this year. We thank you for your grace, Lord God, and that you help us just simply draw near to you. For whatever is demanding our attention or chattering in our minds, Lord God, or the pressures and the cares of this world, Lord, help us just to hear you and focus on you, Lord God, and have a bigger picture, Lord, of the people that are around us. We bless our families. We bless the people that are beside us. We bless the people that we love. We bless the people that you want us to speak to, Lord God, the people in our workplaces. We thank you for your plans and your purposes, that they run through generations. They run through us, Lord God, into the people in our community. And we just thank you, Lord, for your call over this nation, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. This is a place of your presence. This is a place of witnessing. This is a place of loving people with the gospel. This is a place of helping people out. Lord God, we are just so grateful. We bless this week as the team go out west. We thank you, Lord God, you keep them safe as they go and as they come. Lord God, we bless every person they speak to. We thank you, you line up moments, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord, where they can share the gospel, where they can share what you've done, Lord Jesus. We are just so grateful for that town, Lord God, and the seeds that have been sown all these years, Lord God, and the generations out there that have experienced Bethany and the team that now have their own children, Lord God. Let them come and let them be touched by you again in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord God. Amen. God bless you today.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus.